Welcome in to another episode of the Brand X Podcast, episode 122. I am one of your hosts, John, and alongside me, Deuce.
Come and stop, bitches.
So, Deuce, I'm heartbroken today. The Eagles got knocked out of the playoffs. I knew, right? You knew they sucked. I knew that it was going to happen, but everybody's like, no, you know, they can beat this team and all. Man, I have never seen an Eagles team just lay over.
That was quite the collapse.
And take it in the ass. Like
What did they end up, 11-2?
No, they were 12. No, they didn't.
They wound up being
11-7. 12-6,
right?
No. 12-5.
They were 10-1 and then collapsed.
I got to look it up.
Well, that's what I put. They went from being 10-1, like, yay,
and they only
to
won
being like
11-6.
Yeah.
Yeah, 11-6.
Yeah.
So I watched that game last night, and what a debacle. And I've been an Eagles fan for 50 years, and I've seen some shit teams, but I never seen a team just roll over and not try. They could not. You and I could have went out there and tackled better than they did. They were just like the receive, like someone would catch the ball and the guy would just kind of go and just like almost step out of the way.
So it'd be like that Looney Tunes when Bugs Bunny by himself played the Gas House Gorillas, like change up in the teetotalers. First base Bugs Bunny, second base Bugs Bunny.
Yeah,
and it's just me and you against the whole team.
Bradbury, the one cornerback, he can't cover anyone. He's slower. And listen, I'm not saying the guy didn't try. He probably tried. He just lost a half a step or a step or whatever, and he could just not. Like, they were burnt. I was calling him toast with Bradbury jam. I mean, he was horrible. And, like, even I hate it when I have to agree with Troy Aikman, but Troy's even like...
Would you rather agree with Troy Aikman or Joe Buck?
I'd rather agree with Joe Buck.
Really? I'd rather. I hate Joe Buck.
I hate both of them.
As a tangent, he's had so much plastic surgery, he doesn't even like look human like Joe Buck because he's been around. He's getting to that like Sylvester Stallone level of plastic surgery where everything... He's like so distorted. Like, that's not the guy from 25...
I never noticed that.
Yeah, I saw him one of the games that they were announcing, and I was like, ooh. Yeah, I mean, clearly the guy's had work done. Because they starched the shit out of his face. There's not a wrinkle to be seen. He's like
where's my goddamn stretching? Where's my stretching?
Where's my stretchy sound when I need it?
Yeah, where is it? I can't find it.
From what I didn't see too much of the game. I saw like the last minute and a half when I walked in the door from work last night. And like, well, I've seen enough, and I just went away. But from everyone at work today, they said they pretty much just showed up with no heart, like
nothing.
They walked onto the field defeated.
Yeah, there was one point where Jalen Hurts drops back the pass. And he drops, he goes back 14 yards into the corner of the end zone, and they tackle him for a safety. I was like, what the hell was that? What was that? I'm screaming.
I didn't know that happened. Jesus.
Yeah. They were really, at one point, they really were never out of the game. Even in the second half, they weren't out of the game. And let me just say this to you. The fact that the Buccaneers receivers dropped, I can't tell you how many passes. That score could have been 50-9. It was 32-9 was the final score. They could not stop. Here's a stat. The Eagles did not make one third down or fourth down in the entire game.
Yeah, you're going nowhere.
It was crazy. So, of course, I get off, you know, after the game's over, and I grab my phone, I go to Facebook, and I go, I want the whole coaching staff fired, and I want Howie on a short leash. This was embarrassing. Send. Never checking to see if I spelled things right. So then the day, I see Deuce says, well, leash.
All leech.
All leech.
All leeches
are short. I said leech instead of
I
leech.
I want him on a short leech.
I want him on a short leech.
If I was up earlier and saw that, I would have drew a cartoon of him on a leech and just posted it. But I was getting ready for work. I'm like,
I miss your cartoons. So, of course.
Don has a shitload of the cartoons.
I know.
It's known as the portfolio.
We got to get the
shit that me and Joe drew over the years. Don has.
Can't we get him to digitize it? I want it digitized. He could just take his phone, take pictures of it.
The problem is the last time that I even saw the portfolio is probably going on close to 20 years ago. So at that point, they were 20 years and older then.
Yeah.
And it was, most of it was done on really bad school paper. Like, you know, like the kind of paper that the teachers would hand out to do a quick pop quiz on? It wasn't gray paper. It was just real shitty, that shitty gray paper that they used to, like, give us in school. That's right. What I drew most of my pictures on. And it doesn't hold up. And a lot of the pictures are, like, just not. I mean, you would have to get a really expensive scanner just to do that.
First of all, I've never seen you do something on actual paper. Every time
I have, when we were in Kaminsky's, I would whip out a napkin and.
Napkin, yes.
Yeah.
Back of a placemat, yes. Mm-hmm. Never a piece of paper.
Well, you didn't know me in school.
That's right. I didn't know you in school. Whenever I saw you, like, I would say something, all of a sudden, because the placemats were red. The other side was white. He'd flip it over, grab his pen, and he'd start doodling. And I was like,
John, and Don does have a shitload of those placemats. Oddly enough, the placemats hold up better than the school paper that I used in high school.
Yeah, bar napkins.
Anything. Matchbook covers, because they used to be like on the bar in a glass jar.
Yeah.
You know, because cigarettes.
That's what I'm saying. There's the one where you just take a picture of it, and then you can take and crop it and make it do whatever you want. I want to get them. They're fucking classic. Although some of them now would be.
Oh, it would sink my run for the presidency.
Of course. Of course it would.
In case I ever decided someday, you know.
That is true.
I'm going to throw my hat into the ring.
Oh, no.
Especially the series of Ronald McDonald dying in gruesome ways. Well, now they kind of semi-retired the clown, so. McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, they did, didn't they?
Yeah, they shelved the clown about 10 or 11 years ago. I mean, they still got the Ronald McDonald house. And that, I think that's really the only reference that McDonald's uses.
Well, they did away with all the characters. There's no more.
Yeah, they did away with all that
Grimace,
shit.
The McBurger.
I think they got spooked when the government went after R.J. Reynolds with Joe Camel.
Oh, okay. So then
they were saying, oh, you're using cartoons to make kids smoke, which was preposterous. I guess they really wanted us to go out into the wilderness, capture a moose, make it stand upright, and put him in a tuxedo or a camel, you know. But I think McDonald's got spooked because of the obesity was kind of kicking up. They were, like, pointing fingers at McDonald's for doing it. You know, not at the parents for bringing their kids to McDonald's 7 times in a month, you know.
Well, the other thing is that there's actual movies, documentaries, where a guy tried to eat McDonald's.
That was all bullshit. Did you see that?
No. So now I just made another falsehood.
Yeah, Supersize Me?
Supersize Me.
Apparently, I remember reading somewhere that a lot of that shit was just bullshit. The guy that did that, and then he did They Call Me Earl. It was that guy. And apparently there was like some kind of – someone debunked that. That I think he just basically made that shit up, and people were so eager to glom on to, like, kicking McDonald's in for that.
All right, so I just got Googled.
Goggled. Wow.
I goggled. Supersize Me before and after, and it says, how much weight gain did Supersize Me? 24.5 pounds.
Type in Supersize Me debunked.
Supersize Me debunked.
Just to see what shows up. Out of curiosity.
There it is. Okay. All right, here it is. This is a generative AI explanation. Supersize Me a 2004 documentary by Morgan Spurlock that explores the question of the responsibility ends and begins at the corporate level. Spurlock only eats McDonald's for 30 days to see what happens to his body. Super Size Me has been criticized by the scientific community, including counter documentaries such as Fathead, which focuses on consumption. The film focuses on intake, ignores how fast food is produced. Spurlock was a vegan before the experiment. The film implies that Spurlock is a vegan, but actually a vegan before the experiment. Doesn't consider balance in the film. Spurlock only eats food from McDonald's, while in other challenges, people eat a variety of foods. So.
Yeah.
I guess.
The one that I read that like someone did, they had a nutritionist actually calculate what he said that he ate, and he said it wasn't really enough food to make him gain that much weight. So they were basically inferring that he was lying about the weight gain.
Okay.
Or he was eating other things or more McDonald's food than he claimed he was.
All right. Yeah. I don't know. Listen, I've never eaten McDonald's for 30 days straight.
Well, you're not supposed to.
But I've eaten a lot of McDonald's in 30 days before. You know, when you're younger, it was, and you were living alone, it was always, you know, quick, easy, something to grab.
Mm-hmm. Well, so. It was the thing is that, you know, the parents abdicated their role of responsibility and everybody's looking for a patsy.
That's still going on today.
Right, and I think McDonald's just got spooked, and they said, you know what, let's retire the clown.
Right.
Because you go in, when we went into them, it's like the meme you see on Facebook. They show a McDonald's from the 70s, and it's all the bright colors and the characters, you know, and they say McDonald's in the 70s was a happy, joyful place, and now it looks like something for medicated adults because they're just it's really, I don't know, it is really different how they – decorate a McDonald's now.
It looks
compared
like
to how we did then.
Yeah, it looks like a coffee shop now. They've got couches and
You know what it looks like when you go into a hotel
lobby,
and it's just they always have that little coffee bar off to the side,
right?
You know, with the complimentary shit at breakfast. That's what McDonald's looks like now.
Yeah,
you know, it's just,
back when we were there, they had the tinfoil ashtrays.
Oh yeah,
that you could smoke inside the McDonald's.
They had the playgrounds outside.
Well, yeah. They had the playgrounds inside, and they did away with that. They're doing away with them. I don't know. Like the one that the closest to me used to have the playground, mm-hmm. and they tore that out. All that shit went.
A lot of them did.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A has the one near my house has the inside ball pit and the tubes that you can climb up in there. They still have that. Chick-fil-A is still pretty much like pro, but they don't really have a mascot outside of the cows.
Right. It's just eat more chicken.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, which was humorous. It's a great ad campaign.
I think so.
But yeah, McDonald's is, not the, and Burger King. I don't know what's going on with Burger King. Have you been into a clean Burger King lately?
No.
I don't know what it is with Burger King, but it seems like everyone is filthy.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with that. And same thing. Well, listen, they can't get workers. Mm-hmm. They can't get anybody to work there. There's a lot of times where there's a Wendy's up the street, and it's closed because they can't get anybody to fill a shift.
Yeah, Royal Farms is like the same thing. I would drive into a Royal Farms, I need gas, and there's like orange cones in front of every 8 pumps.
Right.
Orange cone in front of every one of them.
They can't get it.
No one's working.
Bob,
but the other thing with Burger King, is like down the street in Paulsboro, mm-hmm. or Gibbstown, the Burger King there turned into a Taco Bell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was it a Burger King?
Yeah, because I used to eat there.
Yes, it was, because it was because
the one near the ShopRite.
That's right. Yeah, they turned it in. Yeah, one day I go there, and they said, they tore it down. I'm going to go over to Burger King. That was the last clean Burger King I ever saw.
Yeah, that's why I would go there.
Yeah.
But it was weird. Like, if you're traveling on the Jersey or Pennsylvania Turnpike, Burger King, they just seem like they're just filthy.
Yeah.
And the other fast food restaurants, not so much.
No. The cleanest is Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A by far.
Yeah. And then I would say McDonald's. And then probably for me, Wendy's, Taco Bell, then wait a minute. Let's see. I'm going Chick-fil-A, Taco Bell, McDonald's, then trying to think of the other ones. Burger King's last. And then Wendy's. Wendy's, then Burger King.
If I want a burger, Wendy's is my go-to.
Yeah.
Then Burger King. But they're, if they're not filthy. And then McDonald's, I just like, I liked them better when they had the earth-wrecking styrofoam tins, because you would open up a Big Mac and it looked like a work of art. It was like, now they wrap them up in the paper and I think they're smashing them down. Like, yeah, fuck you. You know, like, here's your fucking burger. Because they're all like crushed under the paper and they get cold real fast. They don't.
Yeah, here, white boy.
Yeah, bring back the styrofoam. You know, it's like.
Remember when McDonald's had the cold and the hot?
The McDLT. Was that? They just came out with that. That was an excellent sandwich. And they just came out with that. And then the memo went out that styrofoam's bad. And then McDonald's was like, fuck. You know, what do we do? And they had to cancel that sandwich because the cold side didn't stay cold and the hot side didn't stay hot. So right. I said, Yeah, whatever.
The biggest thing I think the biggest scam with McDonald's is the McRib. Because they bring
had one, but I always hear you talking about them.
Well, the funny thing is that I shake my head with Lisa and Sam. Lisa always raves about them, and they haven't been in Canada for decades. So they brought it back, and it was here. So you know me. I go grab one, and I eat it on camera, so I taunt her.
Dick move, Banner.
Dick move, Banner. Yeah. So...
the things we do for our friends.
Right. Of course I'm going to do that. Of course I'm going to. What was it? Oh, there was a meme out there. It says, if you could bring one back, what would you bring back? And it was John F. Kennedy, Prince, somebody else in the McRib sandwich. Oh, Patrick McSwayze. Patrick Swayze. Patrick McSwayze. Patrick McSwayze.
So when he's doing that dirty dance, he actually did river dance. So right. He's like,
and a McRib sandwich. I said, who are you bringing back, Lisa? She said, I'm bringing back the McRib. Fuck those guys.
Everyone's got to die sometime.
Yeah.
No one's getting out alive. It's all just a matter of
just a matter of time. That's all. Yeah, but my Eagles died. Now everybody in Philadelphia is on fire. They want the coach fired. They want everybody fired. The defense sucked. That's the problem. They had like maybe three guys on defense. Four.
Did they show up?
Four guys on defense that were worth a shit. The rest of them couldn't tackle.
They're just phoning it in.
They just can't tackle. They can't catch up. They can't tackle. They're too small. It's horrible. And they were getting hurt. Everybody was getting hurt at the end of the game. I think that what they did was like, ooh.
Like a soccer player?
Yeah. I don't feel like playing in this game anymore. We're getting our ass kicked. Why am I going to go out here and get my ass kicked out here? Oh, hamstring. So they pulled up.
And what you didn't see behind the scenes that they took themselves out of their fantasy football league, so they had to like really make it like, my hamstring.
I got to start.
My hammy.
Yeah. And then I hear that Jason Kelce is going to retire, which is the center of the Philadelphia Eagles.
I heard that today.
Yeah, and he kind of is the heart and soul of the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, he's really a Philly guy. I mean, I know he came from Cleveland. You know, he's got that podcast, the New Heights podcast, because he grew up.
Is that
in
where they're from? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, from Cleveland. And but he's Philly. He's Philly through and through. He's got a house here now. And yeah. Has a house down
when he showed up at the Super Bowl parade in a Mummers outfit. Like, right. I was impressed that they had one that fit him.
Yeah. Yeah, they wanted to put that in the NFL Hall of Fame. And he's like, no, you can't have it. And then Travis on his podcast asked him, where is it? And he goes, oh, it's all balled up in a bag down in the basement. It's like, why wouldn't you give it to him? I don't want to have it. But my second fucking devastating news of the day, Vivek Ramaswamy suspended his 2024 Republican presidential.
And you're shocked by this, Hal?
God damn it, Deuce. I'm sorry, but that guy to me.
Ding.
Where's your bell? Your bell?
Yeah, throw it to me.
It's right there.
Is it?
Look, right behind, on the other side of your computer. See it?
It's upside down.
What?
That's a bell.
You can't turn it right side up?
Well, from Jesus. Here, what does that look like to you?
I know. Well, I threw it over there.
I thought it was like some kind of integral Jamingo studio broadcasting equipment.
No, it's just a bell. There you go. So, yeah, well, listen, I found out about Vivek early on because he used to go on all these podcasts. And I've listened to a lot of what he talks about, and he just made so much sense to me. And he would go into enemy territory, and he did not care. And he would speak about the issues, and he seemed to have a plan. And through all that, we get Donald Trump, which I get, but he can't overtake Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley. I don't understand. I really don't understand it. The only thing I can think of is he's brown.
No. It's amazing to me how you compartmentalize things. But
as I do.
He came in. I knew about him from Ben Shapiro. I'm a Daily Wire supporter.
As I am.
I'm doing the $99 a year.
As I am.
Oh, okay. Well, do you see that TV show that Ben Shapiro does? He interviewed Vivek even before he declared a presidency.
I didn't know that. I'll have to go back and watch it.
Now, see. And that's where I first heard of him. And then when he announced, Michael Knowles went to school with him at Yale.
Okay.
And he had even said, yeah, this guy's smart. Don't count him out. He's gonna make a lot of noise. And he did. I mean, he raised a lot of issues. But, you know, Donald Trump went into his campaign of spending 25, 30 years on tabloids. So he had name recognition.
Right.
You know, people knew he was a millionaire. They knew he was a playboy. You know, he has all these businesses. He's worth billions of dollars. And Vivek ran a business, and he's pretty well off. But he didn't really have that name recognition. Now, that's not to say, like, 4 years from now, God forbid if the fucking Democrats win again, that he can't come back. He's a young man.
He is a young man, and I thought we needed some of that. I thought we needed some young blood in the White House. I really did. So Trump just demolished everybody in the caucus, Iowa caucus. He got 50%.
Little bit over, I think.
Yeah, he won.
So that means everybody else combined wouldn't be able to overtake
him.
Yeah, there's three other people.
Right. So then Vivek decided that, you know, okay, I'm going to suspend the candidacy. Damn it. And, you know, endorsed Trump and said, you know what, I'll come in, I'll campaign for you, whatever I'll campaign for you. I would like to see him stay in this race. I would love a Trump Ramaswamy ticket. Oh, my God, would I love that.
What state is he from?
He is from Ohio.
Oh, okay.
And
because people are always like, oh, why didn't he just make DeSantis his VP? Is it because he can't?
Why can't he?
Because that's the law. It's in the Constitution.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
You didn't know this?
So when you go to pick a vice president,
you both can't be from the same state.
That I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No shit.
So if Donald Trump had still been a New Yorker, but during his presidency, he became a Florida resident.
Right, because they threw him out of basically.
So now DeSantis and Trump are both from Florida. They both can't be president VP.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. How about that? That I did not know. Ah, look at that. So.
Yeah, but he did the right thing by getting out early. And I can't remember. I'm going to pull it up now. Because there was a couple. I was in 2016, I was a Ted Cruz guy.
Right. I do remember that.
And somebody, the guy from Ohio, begins with a K. He was just in.
What's that? Kasich?
Kasich?
Kasich.
Was it Kasich?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in it for the food. Because every time he saw me, he was stuffing his fucking pie hole with food. Every city. Like, you know, oh, I'm in Philly now. I got to eat a hoagie. Oh, I'm in Boston now. I got to have whatever people that can't pronounce ours eat in Boston. So, you know, and he just stayed in it so long that he kind of subdued Cruz. Because
really?
He just stayed in so long. Yeah, Cruz was the number two guy. But with Kasich staying in so long, had he gotten out earlier, Trump may not have gotten the nomination. It might have been Cruz.
Right. What I do remember was that there were so many people in there that it didn't take a lot. Like he only needed like 30% or 25% or something like that because there were so many people. And that's how he started the game. The thing is,
he cleared the field immediately. Why do I keep opening that? Let's try this.
The thing with Trump was everybody wanted somebody like as a middle finger to the establishment. They wanted a businessman. We always the same thing we wanted back when Ross Perot ran. We wanted somebody with a business head to go in there and actually try to run the government like a business. And Trump actually did it. I don't think he was supposed to. I think they brought him in there, and they wanted Hillary to win. And she was such an unlikable candidate that he actually squeaked through.
Well, he got lucky.
I agree.
I think if any other Democrat ran besides Hillary, he would not have won.
I agree with that, too.
So there was 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14. There were 16 candidates at the beginning, and they made fun of... The Democrats made fun of the Republicans because of that number. But then in 2020, they had like
oh my God.
22, I think.
Remember that?
Yeah, it was like a shit show. I mean, it was like...
Yeah, they had a two-tier. You had the A team, and then you had the baby team or the kids table when they had the debates. They couldn't get them all on stage. They had the number ones, and then they had the number twos debate. And then they almost had to try to get... To win the number two debate to get to the number one debate. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. But they did the same thing.
They had a short memory.
Yeah. And I honestly believe if it's up to the people and it's up to the people's vote, I think Donald Trump's going to win this next election.
If they don't steal it.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because the Democrats don't realize that... The immigration problem and their policies is going to sink them. This is going to sink them. And everybody knows how horrible this is. I mean, what it's doing to cities, what it's doing to states.
Real fast, I just pulled it up on Wikipedia. In 2020, there were 29 Democrat Party presidential candidates.
29?
29 of them declared.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, obviously, some of them, that might have been just like a, hey, wouldn't it be a hoot if I, and then.
I declare for presidency.
Yeah, they didn't last long. No. But yeah, they had 29. But so maybe five of them. I remember at one point there was 24 solid, legitimate people that, were running.
I mean, I'm all for this. I don't think Biden's going to make it to 2024.
Well, Hillary Clinton's hitman is going to be shooting him in the back of the head twice.
You think so?
Yeah, it's like pretty soon. Then
She'll have to...
Kamala gets resurrected, and then she says, well, I'm not going to run, so my VP will, and they'll have installed somebody.
That's what I kind of thought was going on with Haley. I thought Nikki Haley was like the Democrat
Nah, she's a... I know you don't like her.
I don't like her at all.
You compartmentalize the people in a different way.
Which is, come on, what do you mean by that?
Well, because if you don't like somebody, like you don't like Nikki Haley, like everything that she's done, you never mention. So when you and Duchess mix it up, it's always like, oh, I've got a vagina. It's like, yeah, she was only like a very, very popular governor. She was in government before that. She was in the U.S. But you never mention that. You're just like, she's just there because she's a woman, and that's kind of unfair.
Look, she's flip-flopped on so many issues.
Well, she's part of the establishment. What do you expect? But she's a politician. She's run something. She's run a state.
All right. She run a state.
Yeah.
Okay.
She had way more experience than Obozo had the first time he ran.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
I think that's the first person.
That's the first Manchurian candidate.
I think you're right.
Because he was, I think he was senator for like 144 days, and he declared he's running for the presidency. Like, what?
I think I could be a president. I don't know. I'm a black man.
All his records are all sealed.
Can't find my birth certificate.
Michelle's medical records are all sealed since college. Wonder why?
I can't look at Michelle Obama now and not see a guy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I like that video from the Ellen DeGeneres show where she's dancing and that Wang's flopping all over the place. And every time that video, if you ever see it on YouTube, you have to download it and burn it to your disk immediately because it gets pulled down. It never stays up long.
Really?
That's had more comebacks than Muhammad Ali. That thing comes and goes like crazy.
Well, it's funny because Joan Rivers had that interview and said, everybody knows she's a tranny.
Yeah, she mysteriously died.
And then all of a sudden...
Hillary Clinton's hitman injected her with something while she was under the knife.
Right. Oh, I don't know what happened to her. Hold on. Let me put this in her... shot a syringe or something into her IV. Yeah. And that was the end of her.
It's like Saving Private Ryan. Shh. Did you ever see that movie?
Yes.
You know, the German stabs the guy. Shh.
Jesus. I watched a show. What was it? I watched it's on Reacher. Have you seen Reacher yet? So Reacher season 2, there's this real badass guy there. He's the bad guy. And they had found out who he was. He had just got new documentation, you know, passport and everything. So they says, oh, yeah, this is good stuff. He says, you can't tell the difference. It's almost it's so good, it'll pass. So the guy goes, oh, that's great. And he stabs both of the guys that made it because now they know who he is, which is the dumbest thing. He's like, I'll mail it to you. I'm not getting anywhere near you. Venmo me the money and I'll send you the documents.
They call me.
You're not getting anywhere near me.
Yeah. Meet me at the diner. Then you're in the diner. Goes, oh, are you Mr. Hemslow? Yes, I am. You know, yeah. If you look at that far booth, there's a manila envelope.
So then they find out who he is. So they're looking for him. So he says, yeah, you can't take an airplane. So he looks over and he just happens to see a bench with a plastic surgeon, right? And you think he's going to have his face, but what you don't realize is they two of them kind of look alike. So he comes in and he stabs the surgeon, the plastic surgeon, in the throat. And he's like, you're a doctor. You know what's happening. Your lungs are filling with blood. You know what's going on. Just don't fight it. It's okay. Yeah, it's going to be over soon. And it's kind of the same thing.
Wow. It's funny to be that poor son of a bitch. He woke up one day.
Just got to work.
Had toast and coffee. Jumped in the shower. Yeah. He's like, wow, this is going to be a great day.
I got a couple, you know, I'm going to the Met afterwards. I'm going to watch an opera. And the next thing you know.
When suddenly.
Somebody stabs him in the throat for no reason.
Yeah. That's like Ned Beatty in Deliverance. We're going to go on a nice, peaceful canoe trip. When suddenly Hillbilly Jack is pile driving your anus. It's like
squeal louder.
You got a real purdy mouth, boy.
Oh, my God.
I wonder how much Ned Beatty got paid for that. Wondering how that negotiation went down. Like, yeah, it looks like a really solid script. I'd like to do it, but about this sodomy scene, I mean, can't Bert do that? No, Roy, boy, you know, Bert can't do it. He's got to shoot the arrow.
We need a fat guy, and you're the fat guy.
And you got to wear these tighty whities on top of it.
I forgot about the tighty whities. I completely forgot about the tighty whities. Oh, my God.
Let's put a chubby guy in jockey shorts.
Hold on a second. Jesus.
In fact, why am I sitting here with no drink? You need another one?
Sure.
Meanwhile, poor John Voight is tied by the throat around with a belt around a tree, watching this.
Right, and then this is what you hear.
Squeal, squeal.
Oh, Jesus Christ, the teeth on these guys. I'll tell you one thing, in the South, they don't have a very good dental plan. Oh, I think that's when you got the high hard one right there.
Could have went outside in the snow and
made a snowball.
Because we have shitty weather today.
I saw someone, they took the snow and then they melted the snow, right? And then they took a magnet and they ran a magnet around the glass. And you should see all this metallic shit that is sticking to the side of the glass. And you're like, well, Jesus Christ, can't even drink rainwater anymore. Unless you take in the bottom of your rainwater barrel, you're going to need a magnet to drag all that, all the metal down. And then you can take it from the top. You can drain it off from the top. Jesus.
Where did they collect the snow off? Like an oil drum
just went
or
out,
something?
No, they just went outside and took snow off the porch. Huh. They just took a, made us, you know, brought snow in, melted it. And then they said, look at this. I was like, God damn, that's a lot of.
It's good for you.
It's a lot of metal. It's got plenty of iron and minerals.
Packed. They're great.
Mm. I thought it said, oh, thank you. Yeah, thank God it's only a half. It's only a single, not a double.
No, that is a double.
It is a double?
The first one we had were triples.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay. Hey, it's a long day. I don't want to waste any time.
I understand.
Had to work overtime in shitty weather.
Yeah, we got the first snowstorm in 770 days or something like that.
We can go another 1,770 days.
Yeah, because people are like, oh, it's global warming. I'm like, I like global warming. I always wanted to live in a climate that was like North Carolina 20 years ago, 30
Diane's
years
all
ago.
Gloopy because of, you know, now that we're grandparents. And she was like, oh, I, up until now, I can't wait until the baby gets to see snow for the first time. Like, he's 5 months, so he's not going to remember it. Right. You know, it's not like he like was born in Brazil and he came here at like four. And then right. That makes an impact.
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
I'm at the point now, if I want to see snow, I'll buy a postcard.
You could always travel up into the Poconos and go to a...
Yeah, or travel to see it.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
I don't need to have them bring it to me.
No, not at all.
So I was like, yeah, done with this.
Then you get to get the news stories. Well, there's a certain way to shovel so you don't have a heart attack. Yeah, get one of those goddamn border crossers over here to shovel for you. Here you go, senor.
Do news channels really think that people are so stupid that unless they send a reporter out to the local gas station or where the snow plows are that you won't believe them? Like you can't look out your fucking window?
I love the one where...
It's like so redundant. And like, and here I am live at the Wawa. Yeah.
And so what are the roads like? Oh,
what the fuck do you think they're like? Look around.
I'm just here for a coffee. Get the fuck away from me.
Yeah, I'm already 45 minutes late for work because of this bullshit. Get out of my way.
They come running over. Oh, Marge, look, I'm on the TV. Channel 6. Everybody, Channel 6.
Set your VCR.
Who has a VCR anymore? Do you?
Just to play the ones that I have.
Yeah, I mean, it's
crazy. I got to digitize a lot of shit.
I got it.
Yeah, because that stuff eventually won't be there anymore.
That's true.
Absolutely. But that music video I made for the Tioga trip.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's still around.
Got to get that digitized.
I got to digitize that. I wonder if I could do that on my computer.
You could buy,
I'm sure I can.
Yeah, you could buy. You have to buy something.
Yeah, an interface of some kind.
An interface and... Or you could just send it away. What's that company?
Legacy Box?
Legacy Box. Just send it to Legacy Box. By the time you bought the thing and did everything else, you can put it in Legacy Box.
I just want that video.
Right.
Just to put it on my computer.
Yeah.
Of course, I have to look at the Bitter Asian, man, but, you know.
No, besides that, it's not that big of a deal.
It was a fun video.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to remember what it was all us up at Tioga, right?
Yeah.
Was that the one where... With the telephone booth? No. Was that the one with the bikes? Wait a minute. Was that
the bike was a hunting trip.
Oh, okay.
That was Ronnie, Ray.
Right.
You, me, Don.
Okay. Yes, okay. I got that
The
one.
Telephone booth was, it snowed and it was a phone booth there. And then you did make a comment. I think there was a bike rack.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's.
I said, who the fuck is
Well, that was doing a hunting trip, but I think something... Oh, I know what it was. Wade fell on his ass.
Oh, okay.
Running to the telephone
booth. That's right.
And we got that on videotape.
Right. Him and the Bitter Asian man ran to the phone booth, and they both tried to stop short, and they both crashed down.
Right. And, we were all wearing sneakers. We didn't know it was going to snow like that.
No.
That snow fell fast.
Yeah. Poor Don, he had to drive in the car with me. And he's like, slow down, slow down, slow down. I said, you say slow down one more time.
I'm speeding up.
He goes, slow down. I was like, knock it off. Just got the car sideways. That was the trip where you had the red Daytona and you spun off the road.
Yeah, that was the previous trip.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the first time we went up in the wintertime with Kemble and Joe McAdams.
Right.
and you were behind me, and you're like, oh, some asshole's spitting out. And then the bitter rage of it says, that's Deuce.
Jesus yeah. Christ. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that goofball Elon said, well, the reason that happens because I was driving too slow. What the fuck are you talking about? It's
driving
too slow.
Wow. Get the banjo music ready. Yeah, he was a local.
Well, who the fuck names their kid Elon?
I know one other person, to be honest with you.
Do you? Yeah. You know another Elon?
Yeah, Musk.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were being sarcastic.
No, I actually. When you have billions of dollars, it seems totally okay to be named Elon.
Yeah, sure.
But when you're like Elon and you have like three teeth missing in the front row, mm-hmm. like it's like, why?
My God. You know, the thing is, we watched that Squeal Like a Pig mm-hmm. from the
Deliverance.
And they had to have some kind of thing that they put in their mouth to make their teeth like that. There had to be some kind of...
Yeah, maybe they just went in there and said, hey, you want $100?
Oh, God. Yeah,
sign here. And they
just laugh when the guy gets fucked in the ass.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like...
Just pretend you enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean...
I should be able to do that. I can pretend.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, maybe somebody was into that stuff.
Yeah, there it is. A lot of retards out there, up in the mountains.
He was an idiot. So you know where Danville is because your sister used to live there.
My sister used to live there, yes.
Okay, so Elon is stupid. So
Musk. Elon from Tioga.
Elon, whatever his last fucking name. I don't even know what his last name was.
Nobody does.
Just called him Elon. Mm-hmm. So he was telling the story. It was me and Don. And it wasn't Joe, but it was somebody up there. So it could have been the Bitter Asian Man or Waverly mm-hmm. or somebody. And, she could get lost any old time. You know, one time, I pulled out of Philadelphia, and she pulled out of Danville at the same time, and we both pulled up into the driveway at the same time. And I'm like thinking, yeah, that's because she went somewhere and got plow fucked. That's why, you fucking idiot. You know, it's just because for those of you that don't know, Philadelphia is a good...
Five and a half?
Yeah. Well, Philadelphia to Danville is about a two-hour drive.
Okay. I'll go with that.
So, yeah. And he's saying he left Philly and she left Danville at the same time and they both arrived at their house at the same time. You right. are a cuck.
Yeah.
You
because it's 5 hours to get to...
From Philly to right. Tioga County.
So it's 3 hours to get to...
Yeah. So she was flat on her back.
For 2 hours.
Yeah. Getting her high heels tangled in her earrings and like he's fucking driving up there.
Maul?
Fucking idiot.
Maul, you have this flushed glow over
it's
you.
It's no wonder Brian didn't look anything like Elon. You know, just like... Jesus
Christ.
No homo, but Brian was a pretty good-looking kid, you know. Elon
not so
was
much.
Not. Was not.
Yeah. He looked like the salt of the earth.
Oh, man. Missing his teeth, chewing his chaw, shooting that dog. You heard about the dog, right?
No.
Remember the doctor? They'd always hear about the doctor. He had the property.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so let me back up so I can explain everything. So our friend Don's parents had some property and a mobile home on some property up in Tioga County, Pennsylvania.
Was that your trailer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not, yeah.
Same. Okay. Trailer, mobile home, whatever.
Double wide.
Okay. So... we would go up there for vacation. It was a nice place to go. It was quiet. You could go hiking. We went hunting up there a few times.
Shoot guns off all day.
Shoot guns all day long. It was it was so much fun to go up there. So we would go. There was usually a summer trip and a winter trip. I wasn't much for the summer trips. I used to like the winter trips. Mm-hmm. So
you never did a summer trip.
Never did a summer trip. Always it was always a fall or.
Oh, you know why? Because when we went. We would always go in July. We would always go the same weekend in the winter and the same weekend in the summer. We would always go in this particular weekend in July. You had something that you always went to down in Avalon or somewhere. That's why.
All right.
But you always made it clear you're not walking around the hills. Once you heard there was no air conditioning and John checked out.
I was like, there's no air conditioning. Get the fuck out of here. I'm not going there.
Sod off.
Right. There's heat? I'll come in the wintertime.
So that wood burning stove will run you out of there.
Yes, it would. So Elon was the neighbor. They had a cow farm next door, and Elon was the neighbor over there. And he would always come over and chew your ear off for a couple hours when someone, as soon as he saw a car in the driveway and a light on in the
place. He was Kramer before there was Seinfeld.
That's exactly it. He was Kramer before there was a Seinfeld. All right, so I'm sorry. So you were saying about
So there was a doctor up there that had land. So you noticed because of the hunting incidents, the doctor would give you permission.
Right.
But he would say, so if we were up there on, like, say, Thursday through Monday, he said, well, you can hunt there on Friday, but you can hunt there. You know, he would say what day you could hunt there, and he would tell you what day is not to hunt on his land because he was going to be hunting on his land. He didn't want any extra action. So he had this magnificent dog, you know, that he trained. It was a golden retriever and for pheasant.
Okay.
And he took Elon along for the ride, unfortunately. And apparently this dog cost him a couple of thousand dollars like then.
Okay, so this is coming back to me. So he had this, it was an English setter, I think.
He had a hunting dog.
Right.
Very, very expensive dog. It was the genealogy of the dog, the training that he put on it. The dog would not flinch.
Right. And they would go up there hunting grouse.
Right.
There was grouse up there.
Oh, okay. Not quail. Okay.
Grouse. So, okay. So the doctor takes Elon out to hunt grouse with the dog. I can only imagine.
So they're hunting and the dog is pointing, you know, or whatever, and fucking Elon peppers the dog. Okay. Now the dog lit. So.
Hey.
So the dog lived because it was much like much like Dick Cheney when he peppered his friend. You know, Elon peppered the dog. And but after that, the dog was worth a fiddler's fuck.
You would not.
The dog got gun shy now.
Yep. Yeah, would you?
Yeah. So Elon ruined this doctor. And I'm talking this dog cost like a couple of thousand dollars. Dude. Then, as Genghis would say, like, then, you're talking like $1,988, $89.
So, back when I had beagles, you could get a beagle pup for like $100, mm-hmm. All right? And then you'd raise it, train it, or whatever. And then, you know, if you had what they call a broke dog, one that was trained and knew how to do everything, they would go anywhere from $500 to $1,200,
right.
Beagles. All right. Bird
Outside of rabbits, is there anything else that they use beagles for? Or is that pretty much it?
Well, I mean,
for the hunting part, I mean.
They use them for deer.
I didn't know that.
The beagles love to run deer. Once they start running deer, it's hard to get them to stop. Trust me, I know.
I'm thinking of that picture I drew of you running rabbits with the beagle. Don has that picture, I think. So I drew a picture of John running along with Snoopy from the Peanuts cartoon.
I think it was after Bugs Bunny, wasn't it?
So if you put it to scale, John's like 6 foot something. What are you, like 6'1"?
That was at the time, yeah.
So John's like 6'1", and I drew Snoopy had to be like 5'8". This massive beagle running through the woods, you know, totally upright like Snoopy is.
So getting back to the bird dogs, just to get a puppy, they can be anywhere from like $1,200 to $5,000 just as a puppy. And then you have to train them. And they require so much more training mm-hmm. than a beagle to hunt. So this guy probably had about 10 grand back then.
Then.
Back then. Tied up in this dog. And, you know, and he's got, you know, he buys this place and he just wants to go up and hunt some grouse. And he figures, you know what, I'll take the neighbor out. Fucking stupid ass redneck inbred motherfucker. And the dog points. So instead of just, he's like, well, I guess it's there.
Wow.
He shoots them. Hey. The fucking dog won't come back.
Did your dad freeze on a certain year? Because we were talking about Genghis, like saying Zen. And I have this theory that all men have this latent gene.
Okay.
That whatever year was really, really spectacular for them, like they freeze on that. And that becomes their whole focal point. And apparently for Genghis, it was 1957.
Oh, wow, really?
Oh, yeah, because he would always, like, when I got married, you were my best man, and, like, yeah. Whatever it cost us to rent the tuxedo, that was probably, like, $120 or something.
Back then!
So Genghis, you know, we wore tails.
Yes, we
and,
did.
And, Jesus Christ. Had to. Well, you know what the rule of with tails is, don't you?
No.
Oh, you didn't see. This is why you're uncouth.
You know who doesn't look good in tails?
You.
A fat guy, yes. But go ahead.
The rule on you wear tails in the morning.
Okay.
And afternoon, then you don't wear tails. That's the rule with tuxedos. So we got married at 11 o'clock. So that's why we had tails.
Oh.
Very traditional.
Oh,
so Genghis, you know, he's like, I got to wear tail. My father-in-law was, I don't know.
90?
Yeah, he was. He was 90 or 91 years old at the time.
Right.
And he didn't want to wear tails. So, you guys don't have to wear tails. And Genghis was like, thank Christ. You're a pain in the ass. You got to sit on your tails and you're eating.
Yeah, you got a cummerbund and all that other shit.
So,
guess who did have to wear tails? This guy.
So, go ahead. So when Genghis heard what it cost to rent the tuxedo, like, $120? Are you kidding me? In 1957, it used to cost $6 to rent a tuxedo. But he would use that year for everything. Like, in 1957, I bought a Nash, and I only paid $100 for this.
You know what? Like,
yeah, but I think so. My father, for whatever reason, 1957 was his year.
So, what was your year?
You know, I don't know. I really don't have one yet.
I kind of have my.
I guess if I had to hover around a time period, I guess it would be when we were at the college.
Yeah, 88 to like 94.
But I didn't boil it down to like one fucking year though, like Genghis did. Like he's like, you know, those cards you would see in Gilead, like the year you were born, and it would say 1938. It would tell you what a loaf of bread was, a gallon of milk, and all that shit. You know, that was Genghis's thing, and 57 was his year.
I mean, the things that we did then that we would never even think of doing now. Okay, a perfect example. Remember the green Chevette I had, the stick shift?
Mm-hmm.
That thing needed a starter for like a month.
I only saw that car once. And then you went into the
slip slide horizon.
The Plymouth Horizon.
Right. So I had this green Chevy Chevette that had a 4-speed in it.
Did it drive you happy?
No.
Remember that was a jingle?
Yeah.
Chevy Chevette, it'll drive you happy.
Don't get me wrong.
YouTube it.
It was kind of a great, hang on.
No, not you. I'm to the audience. You know, you don't have to do all of the work.
So
if they're curious, they'll still go.
I want to see the other one.
They don't even build cars that small anymore.
The starter went bad, and I didn't have money for a starter. So it was a stick shift. So either I would park on a hill.
Oh, pop started.
Pop started. Or it was such a small car that I could get out, push it, and then jump in and pop the clutch. God damn it, Deucey, here it is.
The more foreign car prices go up, the more it pays to put your money in a Chevy Chevette. It's like money in the bank. Here's what makes it such a value. This Chevette four-door hatchback has standard white striped tires, body side moldings, AM radio, sports steering wheel, console, reclining front bucket seats, and more. Yet Chevette is hundreds of dollars less than Toyota.
All right, 1979... A Chevy Chevette. Back then.
Let me guess. But the price?
Oh, you know what it is? It says it's less than a Toyota, so I don't know what the Toyota would be.
Oh, okay. Because back then, they used to flash the prices on.
Right.
If I had to guess, I would say a Chevy Chevette in 1979 was about $5,000.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. But this says it's $649 less than a Toyota Corolla.
Datsun. Or VW Rabbit.
Rabbit.
Chevy Chevette. It's like money in the bank.
Like Money in the Bank.
No, but that's but that theme song is Chevy Chevette. It'll, so if you look up another Chevy Chevette, hang if on. You have the...
What made Chevy Chevette the best-selling small car in America last year?
All the standard features? Reclining front seat, AM radio, shift console, white stripe tires, fold-down rear seat, and lots of other things.
Is it Chevette's great gas mileage? A big 30 EPA estimated miles per gallon, 42 estimated highway.
Could it be Chevette's low price? It's still one of the lowest-priced Ford or hatchback.
$5,710. This was okay. In 1982.
Right.
This was in 1982.
I think that was the last year they made them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 82, 83. I think that's when they stopped making them.
Oh, hang on.
They replaced it with the
delivery by May 31st.
The Chevy Cavalier.
Guess what the interest rate was on the, this is 82, right?
I would say it was about 11 or 12%.
12.8% annual percentage rate.
Yeah.
12.8% financing.
And the only reason I know that, I think we talked about it on the podcast one time. My first car was an 83 Chevy Cavalier.
Okay.
And I had two choices. I could get $500 off on a rebate, or because of my father's excellent credit rating and his history, since he was co-signing the loan, we could get this incredible low, low rate of 11%.
Wow. All right, here we go. 1976 Chevy Chevette commercial.
Just punch in Chevy Chevette, drive you happy.
All right, Chevy Chevette.
I thought that's what you did. Do you need help over there? Do you... Sometimes on the search, you just got to cut to the chase.
Sorry.
This trip down memory lane for you is all well and good, but the audience is restless.
Hang on, here we go.
Land the plane.
Chevy Chevette,
there it is.
Drive you happy. Chevy Chevette, drive you happy.
Everyone,
now think about this. Just because of one of those commercials you played, it said it was going to get 42 miles highway.
Right.
All right. A, they don't build cars that small anymore. But let's pretend that they did, because they were very small cars.
Yes.
And so was the Dodge Omni,
mm-hmm.
and the, you know, they were tiny cars. Imagine if they built cars that small, but with modern engines. So if those cars were getting 42 miles to the gallon.
31 city.
Right. In 1979.
76.
Whatever, well, that one commercial you played, I think it was for seven, whatever. Okay,
right.
Regardless.
Okay.
Imagine if they built a car that small today, with the lightweight components that we're using today, with modern sophisticated engines, they would probably get damn near 80 miles per gallon.
Right.
They would have to.
So I was going to bring this up. This is one of the topics. So can I have a transition?
Oh. Hey. No, no.
So in Chicago right now, it's like minus 150 degrees. All right.
Oh, I know this story. This is excellent.
So they have all these electric cars, and they can't get them to hold a charge because it's so fucking cold. And people will still say that, and now we're still going to go to electric
this
cars.
This is the wave of the future.
Because they don't give a fuck. They don't care if it fuck. It's like having a fucking woman. They don't care if it works. They just want it to be. They want electric cars, and that's it. We're going to have electric cars. It doesn't matter. Now, listen, if you're down south and it's not cold or something like that, by God.
Or, you know, my wait in a couple hours.
Yeah.
This year, we're planning on going on a road trip.
Okay.
All right. And I want to see at least three states, possibly four if I could squeeze them in. I don't have an electric vehicle, but when I need gas, what does it take to fill up a tank? 10 minutes, if it's bone dry.
Right.
Maybe.
Maybe.
All right. And I'm going to hop in the car, and I'm going to continue on my way. You can't do that with these electric cars. You, well, hon, we're sitting in this
car
gas station for a couple of hours just to be able to go another couple of hundred miles.
Right. And then what
That's
happens?
That's bullshit.
What happens if you get to the end and there's no charging stations?
Right. Exactly.
Now you're fucked.
I just, and, you know, they... Genghis, and they don't build cars like they used to. Thank Christ that they don't, because, you know, they're so sophisticated. Yeah, it's a pain in the dick when they break down. I get that. But how long a car lasts now and how far you go. So I got a Chevy Impala. I love that. It broke my heart that they stopped making them. When I fill that tank up and you hit the range button, on a full tank of gas, I can travel 500 miles. Nice. So from here, if I left from here, I could get to Ohio.
Really?
On a tank of gas.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Pennsylvania is only like three, on the Penty Turnpike, is about 370 miles.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So if I left from here, I could be well into Ohio. You're not doing that with no fucking electric car.
Absolutely
not. It's not happening. And if it's cold like it is now, you're SOL.
So Hertz, the rental car company, is taking like 20% of their electric cars.
Eliminating it.
And selling them off so they can buy more gas-powered cars.
Oh, that's an ICE engine, John. You have to be up with the times.
What's an ICE?
An internal combustion engine.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's the new acronym now. See, that makes us sound like fucking cavemen. Like, oh, he has an ICE engine.
Yeah, so, well, that's an ICE engine. So,
it's like an internal combustion.
Well, I'm thoroughly convinced that this whole world is being run by fucking morons. And the reason I say that
is being run by people that are invested in electric cars, solar energy, and wind power. Because they're planning on cashing out. Yeah. Why else would these fucking governors like make them illegal?
Hold on. I have to go to the bathroom.
Whoop.
And we're back. Sometimes it's like it comes on so fast, you're like, oh my God, I got to pee.
Were your back teeth floating?
But now.
Oh my God, my God.
Kind of like that, yeah.
Yeah. Fun with drinks.
So they're doing this with the electric cars. They're doing this with so many other things where it doesn't mean, like, nothing makes sense. That's the thing. I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, if you have a lick of common sense, you know that none of this works. Like they're saying, like the cows are a problem.
Yeah.
Cows are not the problem. Pigs are not the problem. Chickens aren't the problem. You're the fucking problem.
I like how they said it was like the methane. I mean, I don't know what the population of cows on the planet are, but you mean to tell me that the 8 billion human beings on the planet farting and belching aren't causing that's methane?
Right. This is where the 15 minutes sit. And then as soon as you say this shit, they go, oh, conspiracy theorists. Look, I might not live long enough to see it, but that's what they're going to do in Hawaii, where they burnt that whole fucking
mysteriously
island down.
Yeah.
They're trying to steal the land off the people, and nobody's talking
about
it.
Sure seems like it, because all the celebrities were like,
their houses didn't burn down.
Well, I think the Oprahs did, didn't she? And then she looked. Who started the GoFundMe?
Oprah's house did not burn down.
But it was a celebrity. I know she has a house there, so I just glommed onto her name.
Right.
But was it The Rock?
There's a bunch of people that have houses.
They were actually like pushing for a GoFundMe,
right,
for that to help them out. Like, fuck you. You have, that's what homeowners insurance is for.
Well, here's the thing. They won't allow.
Speech.
Here's the thing. They won't allow anybody into the island. So the insurance adjusters can't go there. So the people can't get paid. Their mortgages are still going on, and they got $750 from the government. They have no way of paying these mortgages, so they're going to go into default, and the banks are going to take the land. This is a fucking land grab, and nobody except James O'Keefe, formerly of Project Veritas, but now he's got the
OMG.
OMG.
O'Keefe Media.
That's what it is. O'Keefe Media, right. So, and nobody's talking about it. And this is the shit that I'm talking, and everybody's like, oh, save Palestine, genocide. What about the people in your own fucking country? I swear to God, I would love to club these fucking Palestine protesters like a baby fucking seal. Last weekend, they're at the White House trying to tear down the fence to get into the White House.
Kind of looked like an insurrection to me.
Kind of. right? Did anybody get arrested? I don't know. Did you hear anything about it on the news? Not really. This is why Twitter's so important. I know I'm jumping all over the place. This is why Twitter's so important, because if it was, whatever, you won't find out shit. But then you've got to be careful, because there's assholes on there that are like, oh, World War III starting. They just shot a ship, an American ship, and it's on fire. And you're like, oh my God. And then you look underneath and they say, this is when Sri Lanka in 2015. And you're like, motherfucker.
Well, it's good that there's people out there, because it cuts both ways.
It does cut. Yeah. You got to pay attention.
Because sometimes, like we did with the McDonald's story, you know, a lot of people still believe that Supersize Me thing. And then it's right. just like, but see, Supersize Me will be on the front page of the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times.
Right.
But the study from the nutritionist or whatever, that gets buried in Section K, page 18.
Right.
You know, so who's going to see it?
But there's so much shit going on. Like right now, the world, everybody's in Davos for this World Economic Forum. And they're all going over contingency plans for this infectious virus outbreak called Disease X.
Now, Elon Musk is...
It has not yet been formed, but scientists and attendees at the global confab say that it will be chatting about the potential pathogens so that they can prepare properly should it ever strike. Now, they're saying, whoever they are, that right now there's a virus that they're playing with in China that is 20 times more deadly than what COVID was. They have given it to...
So is this a gain-of-function thing like COVID was, but yes. They're denying? Or?
Yes. With fresh warnings from the World Health Organization that an unknown disease X could result in 20 times more fatalities than the coronavirus pandemic. What novel efforts are needed to prepare healthcare systems for multiple challenges ahead? How about finding out where they're playing with this shit and burning it to the fucking ground?
Yeah, let's not do that anymore.
Yeah, let's not do this anymore. Let's not play with shit anymore. They say right now that the COVID wasn't the bioweapon. The vaccine was the bioweapon.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're saying. Because people are dropping dead left and right with this fucking thing.
Well, but then you can't say anything.
Well, we can't put this on YouTube now because I just said that.
I didn't even know we were on YouTube.
We're not. I refuse to go there.
Yeah, good.
But I mean, it's just one stupid thing after another.
I just thought maybe something was going on with the Brand X podcast that I didn't know about. I'm like, oh, we're on YouTube.
Yeah, true.
It's news to me.
Yeah, I know.
I just come in here like the breeze, mix drinks.
That's all.
Full out. Hey. So did your father, we kind of straight up, did your father have a year that he froze on?
Not that I remember, to be honest with you. I don't remember him saying that, but he used to say, back in my day, mm-hmm. that was, I
you
say that.
That. You,
I say
you, that. You picked up that
yeah,
torch.
Yeah, I picked that up. Yeah, back in my day. Yeah, so he never had a year, but he used to say back in his day. Now, we never knew when his day was, but remember, I was only 20 years younger than him. So his day, you know, it's like having a... Like, I see people's kids now, and I'm like, wait a minute. How could she be that age? It was just the other day that she was like this little tiny kid.
Right.
And then you look at and say, oh, she was born in 2002. Oh, Jesus. You know, she's 22 years old now. Like Kathy Clifford's daughter.
Which one?
Well, the oldest one. She's got to be 40?
Nah, she's 30s. Not that old.
She's in her 30s?
Oh, she's easily in her 30s. I'll tell you how old she is. Hold on. She is.
She was born in
90, I don't wanna, I'm
92
trying to,
or 93.
A little before that.
Really?
I'm going to say she's 33.
All right. So she's 33.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember
when she was born.
Yeah, I remember going to the state fair in Cherry Hill with Kathy, and she's riding on my shoulders.
Right.
She's sitting on my shoulders, and we're walking around doing this stuff, and she's giving us a bunch of crap because she wanted to do this, wanted to do that. She was like 4 years old or something like that, and now she's like 33.
I didn't realize inadvertently I had made Kathy kind of a celebrity at the thrift drug drugstore that she worked at, because that was part of my sales territory when I worked for Newport Cigarettes.
Okay.
And Thrift Drug had the cigarette display, self-service cigarette displays on. So every month I had to go in. Kathy worked, I think I only saw her once, and she was covering a shift. But she worked mostly night shift.
Right.
And weekends, which I did not work. So whenever I would go in there and I would change the advertising on the back that faced them, right, not the customer, I would put these spectacular splash pages and multicolored magic marker like, hey there, Kathy, last name, stars, whatever the holiday was coming. So if it was like Christmas, it had like, you know, holly and Santa Clauses and everything, and Thanksgiving. And like, so evidently, all the other employees were like, why is Kathy getting all this attention from the cigarette guy?
Because we used to hang around with her. She was a friend.
Yeah. And she lived right around the corner from that in Audubon.
Yep.
Club Clifford.
Yep. Club Clifford.
Yeah. I got all those pictures.
Well, there's a picture of us. Remember the picture where...
All on the couch?
All on the couch and I'm laying across?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have that picture.
There's seven of us, I think. I made copies of that for everybody. Everybody that's in that picture got a copy.
Yeah. It was one of the coolest pictures.
Oh, yeah. It was me, Joe, Bitter Asia Man, Wave, Don looking very concerned that the couch was going to collapse.
It's because I was laying on top of everybody.
You and Joe Kemble.
Yeah, me and Joe Kemble. All right. So speaking of everybody with everything insane, the United Airlines CEO confirms that their airline is trying to get people...
People.
Well, how do I say this? Retards. They want to take and train retards.
Wow.
Special needs. All right, that's special needs. Sorry.
Well, the thing is, you're not wrong.
I couldn't think of the word. So I had to say retards.
Your moral
so the other,
fashion.
Yes, yeah, so the other word would come out.
But you're not wrong, you know, because
right.
Retard comes from the French retardaire, which means to hold back or to slow down. That's where the word came from.
Right.
But somebody got their panties in a bunch about, like, oh, you can't say that word. I still use it because it's not wrong.
I do, too. Yeah.
Now, if you said someone like, oh, you look like a mongoloid, that's offensive.
That's what
We used to say mongoloids.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the other now two words that we use are also clinical terms. It was retard, imbecile, and a moron.
Okay.
And basically, if you look it up, it's because a moron has an IQ of whatever the number is, and an imbecile has an IQ of this, and... They're actually medical clinical terms, but now, because we used to use them, somebody got their panties, because you didn't mean it. Basically, it was like a comparison, like, oh, what are you, retarded? That's what you would say if someone was acting foolishly.
Right.
But somebody got offended by this, and now you're not allowed to say it anymore. I still do, because I'm grandfathered in.
I figure we should be grandfathered in.
I say that. Yeah, I said, if you're a baby boomer, you're grandfathered in. And see, it ends with me, because I'm the last of the baby boomers. You know,
okay.
Baby boomers are from 46 to 64.
Mm.
I was born in December of 64. I am one of the last of the baby boomers. So anyone under me, you can't say it. I can.
Okay. Back to the retards. So the United Airlines figured that they wanted to incorporate these people into the workforce. And I'm like, wait a minute. You know, it's not like they're loading the luggage or anything. They want them, like, flying the plane. Like, they think that they can actually fly the plane. And I'm like, what, are you out of your mind? I'll never fly United again if this is what they're talking about. This is this diversity and equity and inclusion. Look. I think we go back to merit-based hiring and merit-based promotions, all right? I don't care. I don't care if a woman's a pilot. If a woman can fly a plane, then she can fly a plane. But you can't take a Downs person and have them fly a plane. Like, if I go into the plane and I look in the cockpit and the guy's sitting there with a beanie on, and with a propeller on, I'm getting off the fucking plane, all right? I'm not flying. I can see it now. You're getting ready. This is my appliance speaking.
So it's like Corky from Life Goes On?
Yeah, Corky. Corky's flying the plane. I'm going to be flying at an altitude when the big hand is on the 3.0 and the little hand is on the 5. You're like, what the fuck? Give me, you see, they're taxiing to the runway and you find out Corky's flying the plane and everybody's clawing at the windows like the plane's on fire.
Oh, shit, man. I'll make that slide come out of the door like for the sea landing. I'll go down like chutes and ladders.
Yeah, they're all flying. So I love the Babylon Bee because they came out with a story. Delta introduced short planes for special needs pilots.
Is he yellow?
So, in what some insiders have described a clear case of one-upsmanship, Delta Airlines has raised the diversity, equity, and inclusion bar even higher after introducing the new short plane specifically designed for special needs pilots. With increased scrutiny of late on airlines implementing DEI policies among crucial flight crew positions, the Atlanta-based airline giant took the unprecedented step of creating an entirely new model of aircraft to accommodate pilots who are either physically or mentally handicapped. Look, when you have a car crash, it's fatal. It takes out a couple people or whatever. When you have a plane go down, most of the souls on the plane are lost, and usually whatever it hits on the fucking ground. And now all of a sudden we got Corky coming in. I don't think I can make it. Ah, fuck it. Let's just turn it into the ground. Yeah, it's, they just, I mean, you cannot, they don't have the mental capacity to do this.
Well, not to mention it's a very stressful job.
It is.
I mean, you know, I mean, can they handle that kind of pressure?
I'm trying to think what night did we have the really bad winds here? It was like a couple of days ago. We had like really, really bad winds.
Last weekend.
Okay. So I'm upstairs. I'm sleeping, and I hear what sounds like a 747 landing in my backyard here. And I'm like, what the? It woke me out of a sound sleep. I'm like, what the fuck is that? That plane came over here. I don't know how high it was or whatever, but it was full bore engines, and it couldn't have been no more than 500 to 600 feet off the ground. And it's heading into Philadelphia International. And I'm thinking to myself, should I just brace for impact or just, you know, start saying some prayers here? Because I don't know if it's going to hit us or not. I guess by the time you hear it, it's over top of you. So you're pretty much safe. But God forbid anybody downstream.
I had told Diane that when we went to Italy, that'll probably be the last time that I fly. Because they have dumbed down the testing and the actual questions and interview to become an air traffic controller. And this happened when Obozo was president in 2013, because this is, we've seen this in a lot of fields and everything. They want to like lower the bar because they want to get different people of diversity and equity and inclusion into things. Well, Matt Walsh on the Daily Wire on his podcast was about a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago, and he was reading some of the questions that you're required to answer to an air traffic. I mean, they've dumped it. I mean, it's literally like this roll of paper towels is
paper towels,
like A, round? White, B, brown. I mean, they're very, very, I'm generalizing, but, and since in the last 10 years, you can look it up on the stats, the amount of near misses and crashes due to the fault of air traffic controllers has, I think it went up like almost 20%. And that's because they did away with meritocracy-based hiring. You know, well, now they want to do the same thing with pilots and whatever else. So it's like, you know what? I don't think I want to fly anymore.
No.
You know, unless I'm going to leave and go to Europe again because I can't drive there.
Right.
You know, I'm really kind of alarmed by this. I don't really, really want to fly. I really don't. It doesn't give me a warm, fuzzy feeling. And then you had the plane that just had all the parts. What, the door exploded or whatever a week ago?
Yeah, because of the groundlets or the...
Yeah, we're just not doing things right anymore.
They don't have the money to do it.
Well, it's, you know, when we were like a world power once upon a time, we just took it for granted. Everything was done right. You never heard of this stuff. But now it happens so often because these companies are like, eh, our hands are tied, and this is what we have to do because it's what the government wants. And now people just accept this.
So I'll take and I'll kind of use the elevator industry as an example. So when I first got into the elevator business, a maintenance route for a mechanic would be somewhere around 50 units. And mostly they went by opening. So let's say if you were in a big city and you had a office building or something like that that had 25 floors and you had 8 elevators, so it would be 8 times 25, which would be, I don't know how many that is. I can't do
200.
200 openings. All right, and that's all you could have. All right, you had 200 openings. And because that means you had to go over the doors and you had to check for, you know, you had to check these elevators out. Well, as time went on, they're like, well, you can do 500 openings. Now you can do 750. Now you know, if you got an out route where you used to have 75 elevators, now you've got 125. And guys can't maintain them. So what happens is they just run them into the dirt. And then they send a salesman out and say, well, your elevator's, this thing's 20 years old. You need to get a new one. And then they sell you a new one. When if you just maintained it,
right,
it was better than the ones they're bringing out now. The funny thing is that I was talking to somebody the other day, and they're tearing out elevators that I put in. That's how long ago it's been. You know, so they're tearing out the elevators that I installed.
A 25, 30-year-old elevator.
Yeah, and they were state-of-the-art back then. I'm like, well, what the fuck are they putting in now? Spaceships? Because, yeah, I mean, they were all microprocessors. What's the big deal? But now they tear them. They don't fix them anymore. They obsolete the boards. They obsolete everything else.
Well, Joe said that to me one time in the line of work that Joe's in. And he said, well, you know what the difference between a mechanic and a technician is? Because they throw these terms around, and I'm guilty. I kind of thought they were the same thing. And Joe says, no, a mechanic fixes things. A mechanic fixes things. A technician replaces things. And that's where we're at now. On your car or on it, they don't try to fix it. They're just like, fuck it, just tear out that whole component.
And put in a new one.
And if it's not that one, we'll just move into another component that we'll tear out. So no one really troubleshoots anything anymore, and they don't try to fix it.
There is a guy that I follow on TikTok, and I also follow him on Instagram. And his name's Dave, and he has an auto repair place, and I don't know where.
But bumfuck Egypt.
Whatever. And he is a guy. He reminds me of my father. He's like, you know, we're going to troubleshoot this, and we're going to do this right. And he comes in, and he's like, okay, we have a problem here, and this, and he just goes over it. He has this thing. He's like, he says, be inquisitive. Don't just fix it. Ask why. Why did that happen? What's going on here? And I love watching what he does. And the next time he says, because he's got like this five things, it's cause and this and that. He's got like five different things. And I said, man, God, that's perfect. I got to write that down. I got to memorize that if I ever can. But I mean, he's a guy he fixes things. In other words, you bring your car in, and he could take the head off and redo the head and redo that and put everything back together again, and it's fine. They don't do that shit anymore. They rip the whole fucking motor out. You get a rebuilt motor.
Oh yeah.
And then what they do is they take that motor that needs a head gasket or new valves, and they send it to Dave, and then Dave mills everything down and does it and sells it back to him again. It's insane the way we do things. We just don't have that.
And the younger people don't know.
No.
Well, it's not their fault.
No, they've been taught.
Well, they're ignorant. They don't know.
Nope.
You know, that's if you've never been shown or taught, you don't know. So one time, a whole bunch of us at work, and this is, Christ, it's going back about 7 or 8 years ago, we went to the poorhouse over in Westmont.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, like 7,000 beers on tap and in bottles. It's great. So there was about 25 of us. And one of the guys there has a 72 Chevelle that he had just redone and everything. And it was in the wintertime, and he decided to take the car out. So, and there was about a good 20 of us in there. So he decides that he drifts out. And then another guy comes in, and he says, yo, he wants to know if you have any starter fluid. Starter fluid? Why the fuck would I have starter fluid? Well, you have an old car. Dude, I drove a 2007, a 2011 Impala here.
Right.
There's no starter fluid required. Well, he flooded the carb out, and he can't get the car started. So he's like wondering what we're going to do. Well, up until this point, they were all breaking my balls because I was the oldest guy there. You know, you, this old guy. And so I stood up.
Put your hands on your hips?
Like a Viking. Put my hands on my hip. Drank the last bit of pint of beer I had. Cracked my knuckles. Well,
that's a real crack, ladies and gentlemen.
It looks like this is something that an old guy can handle. So I walk out into the parking lot, and he's there, and they're all these youngsters, all these whippersnappers, and they're all fucking befuddled. You know, I says, okay, where's your toolbox? Well, I don't have a toolbox. Really? You're driving around in an antique car.
You don't have a toolbox.
And you don't have a fucking toolbox in here. Okay, right. Okay, lesson one. Now that you've decided to go down this path and drive antique cars around, here's what you're going to need to do. You're going to put one of every belt that this engine requires. You're going to get jumper cables, and you're going to get a basic tool set in here.
Because I need a screwdriver.
I need a screwdriver. Exactly.
I know exactly what you're going to do. Okay.
So I popped the hood. Well, I did. Pop the hood.
Take the air cleaner.
Pops the hood. Took the air cleaner. Loosened the wing nut off.
Right.
So now there's no tools. So I reach in my back pocket. And like Excalibur, I pull out my fucking pocket comb. And I put my pocket comb into the carburetor, open the butterflies out.
Right.
I let it air out for about 30 seconds. I go ahead, turn it over. It fires right up. How did you know to do that? Oh, why? Because I'm fucking old.
Yeah.
You know, and when I started learning how to drive, all the cars had carburetors. And this is what you had to do. This is how you got things running. So put your tool kit together, you know, and then drive around. And this won't happen to you. You won't look like a horse's ass at a beer hall, you know, getting rescued by the old guy. You know.
I don't know if I told this story before, but my father was a really good auto mechanic. He knew a lot about, and I wanted to learn about cars. I wanted to be an auto mechanic. He refused to teach me how to be an auto mechanic. So back in my day, you could go take shop. You had wood shop, metal shop, and
electric shop.
And we had
building trades.
We had automotive shop.
Automotive.
So I go into automotive shop because I don't know anything about cars. So the first day, the guy comes in and he's going through the thing. Goes, Jamingo. He says, "What are you doing in here?" And I said, "Well, I want to learn about cars." He goes, "Oh, you just want an A?" And I went, "Well, my father won't teach me about cars. I was just trying to figure out to learn something about cars because he won't teach me." And he goes, "What do you mean he won't teach you?" He says, "You don't work in the garage." I said, "Well, I clean tools and do oil changes, but he won't really teach me about cars." He goes, "Oh, okay." So they had these two old Plymouths in there. So he walks over with a distributor cap, a manual with the wires, and he goes, "Okay, go over there and put this distributor cap on the car."
Did it have points and condensers?
Yes, but
the real old, a right. real distributor, a real.
But what he wanted me to do was get the firing order right. He goes, "Here's the firing order."
Okay.
I fucked up. I put it in 180. I put everything 180 backwards, 180 degrees backwards. So in other words, eight plug was one plug, and one plug was eight plug, and all. So he goes over to start it up, and when he does, it backfires through the fucking carburetor and sets the
insulation on the hood.
Sets the insulation on the hood on fire. He threw me out of fucking class. He thought I did that on purpose. He thought I was making an ass out of him. So he throws me out of class. I go down to the principal's office, and he's like, "What are you doing down here?" And I said, "Well, I set the car on the car shop on fire." And he goes, "What?" And I went, "Well, I didn't do it on purpose. He told me to get the firing order right." I said, "I guess I didn't get it right." I said, "He knows my father. My father's a mechanic. My father's never taught me." I said, I took the class to learn. And I guess I fucked up because – I didn't say fucked up. I said, yeah. "I guess I screwed up because it set the car on fire." And he goes – and he's looking at me. And I said, "I'm serious. I don't know how to fix cars. That's why I'm taking the class."
Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
Right, that's what I'm here for. So he goes, "Okay." He says, "All right, well, come with me." So we walk back. The bell rings. The class is over. So we walk back in. He comes in. The principal comes in. And he says, "Hey." He says, "He doesn't know how to do this." And the guy goes, "His father's a mechanic, his grandfather's a mechanic, his uncles are mechanics. What do you mean he doesn't know how to do this?" He says, "He's taking this class to learn mechanics. He doesn't know how to do any of this. That's why it's backwards." He says, it's probably 180 degrees backwards. And he goes, "Yeah, it's 180, you know, it's 180 degrees backwards." He says, "Yeah, he had the book upside down." He didn't do it on purpose. So I said, I'm here to learn. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I said, but you got to show me. So we go, okay. So we go through mechanics. The whole first two semesters is auto mechanics. We tear down engines. We take out valves. We do all that stuff. Yeah. Now we get in the second, it's body work. Well, I worked for my dad who was, you know, he had a painting business. So body work, I knew how to do. That I knew how to do. So I said, oh, good, I know how to do this. So he goes, oh, you know how to do this, Jamingo? So he walks over with a fucking hammer to the car, and he caves the fucking fender in. And he goes, fix that. That's your final. That was my final exam. I had to fix that fucking dent he put in with a fucking sledgehammer. I actually did get it out, but still, it was one of the funny things.
That's a lot of ball peen hammer action. Heat and ball peen hammer. That's how they did it back then.
Yeah, he says, all right. I just remember, I can still smell. It's weird how when something like that happens, it takes you right back there. I could still smell the insulation on fire. He's like, okay, turn it over. So I'm like, vroom, 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 vroom. And he's like, everybody's like, oh my God, it's on fire. And he goes running over. He takes and puts it out with, I think he had like a fire blanket or whatever. He's like, that's it. Get out of here. Go down to the office. I don't know what you think you're doing. I don't know what I'm doing.
See, that was the thing about the old cars, because all you needed was spark and fuel.
You need
and
three
you could
things.
Get the car running.
Three things. You need spark. I mean, hold on. Four. You need spark, fuel, timing, compression. If you have the four things,
well,
thanks, Dad.
Right.
Dad, my dad used to say, you need spark, fuel, compression, timing. That's right. The four things you need.
But if you only have spark and fuel, you'll get the car moving.
Well,
it won't run right.
Something will happen.
Yeah, you'll get something going, you know. But now the new cars, it's like you open the hood, you look at it, you're like, yeah, I'm in over my head. And you shut the hood and you call AAA. That's the way it is now.
Yeah, you need chips, you need special tools, you need it's crazy now. Like if the light goes on and you're like, fuck.
The amount of money that car dealerships have to invest in their mechanic bays.
And I
never knew this until I sold cars. So when they introduce a new car, like the brand new, when I was selling cars, they had come out with the brand new Cadillac DeVille.
The Escalade.
Escalades, you know, the CTS. CTS is a better example, but they did a remodel on the DeVille and they changed it to the DTS.
Okay.
That was the last year that I sold cars.
I remember
cars.
The DTS, yes.
Okay. Well, they have to send two mechanics a week to a shop, and they have to be trained on that. And then also the dealership has to buy tools and what's it, the OBG?
OBGYN?
OBG, yeah, they have, no.
You know, all right, put the wheels up in the stirrups.
Yeah, the thing that, yeah, let's go there. They got to buy all those components that read the code shooters.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got to invest all this money on every new car that comes down the line, because the previous iteration, it's not going to work. And then when something really fancy comes out, like a brand new Corvette, then it's like real big fucking money, because then there's the Corvette in General Motors is the only car of its kind. It doesn't share anything with anything else. So in other words, I have a Chevy Impala, but it's also a Buick LaCrosse and it's a Cadillac XTS. So the platform is the same. It's just a sheet metal and the interiors are different.
Mm-hmm.
The Corvette doesn't share anything with anything in General Motors. Yeah, so it's a totally unique vehicle and it's big fucking dollars. That's why a lot of people come to me and they're, yeah, I went to the Chevy dealership and they didn't have any Corvettes. That's because they don't want to. You know, it's not that they can't sell it. The car sells itself. They just don't
want to work on them.
And they probably don't really have the market to justify the expenditure of sending their mechanics away to learn that and to buy the tools to be able to fix them. So they're like, yeah, just ship us one a year. We'll do our bare minimum. And it'll sit in the showroom floor forever. And eventually they wind up dealer trading it away to some other dealer that needs it. So,
all right, now I'm going to go back to the elevator business. So
there
was I forget which company it was. They made a complete microprocessing elevator. All right. So they had no relays. It was just all lights and it was not, there was no relays or anything.
So it was like the engineering department of Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Pretty much. So somehow, and it was only on one elevator, that the car would just take off. Doors open, didn't matter. It would just take off. And the guy that I used to work for, they sent him to go fix this thing. He says, you know, this thing, we're getting reports, we don't know what. So I'm sitting there and we're watching this thing run and we're trying to make it fail and we're doing all this other stuff. And then one time we're sitting there and we got the car just sitting there parked with the doors open on what's called independent service. So it's out of the group. It's not going to shut the doors unless we do it. And we're sitting there and we're talking and all of a sudden the elevator just took the fuck off. Mm. And my mechanic went, Jesus Christ. So we go upstairs and everything's lit up on the elevator. Everything's lit up. So from there, they made a code change that the safe, there's some things that can be microprocessors, but there's certain things, safety circuits that cannot. They have to be relay based so that they, if there's not an input signal, the car can't run.
Right.
And that's when they started that. So you had to have a door signal, all the doors, you had to have a door relay, a car door relay, and a safety circuit relay on every elevator. They had to be the, that was the minimum you had. Because if those inputs were not made, the elevator couldn't run. But I'll never forget that. We're sitting there, and all of a sudden, the car takes off, and the, there's just hoistway. And he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and he's like, what the hell? And he's like, all right, shut the door. And then we went upstairs, and the thing was in the overhead with all the lights on. And he's like, okay, good, it's stuck in. We're going to fix this now. And he's looking, he's like, it's internal. It's in the program.
Yeah.
So then they had to take in.
So it's baked into the cake. There's nothing you can do about it.
It was baked into the cake. So what they had to do was they had to make a fix for it. They had to send, so I don't know, every company that had these elevators on their route, they would send out this package with relays on it and wires. And you had to wire everything. It cost a fortune to do this. But they had to do it because either they had to do that or they had to tear out the controllers. It's crazy. Yeah.
Expenditures.
It looks fun at first. It looks fun. All right, dude.
What's up with the big pig?
The big pig. Oh, my God. I did want to talk about the big pig. We were telling boating stories the other day. You know, I forget what's, I think it was on the Daily Jamingo. We were telling the stories about me being on my dad's boat. So you were there. Mm-hmm.
Me and Ton.
I come down to my dad's dock in Avalon, New Jersey, and he's got this wooden boat there. And I go, what's going on with that? He goes, that's yours. And I go, what do you mean it's mine? He goes, well, this guy didn't want it, so I figured I would get it, and you can have it. And I'm like, what's wrong with it? And he goes, well, it needs some work. And I'm like, what kind of work? And he says, well, you know, we could take the engine out and we can, you know, take it out and fix it. And it needs a little, you know, scraping and painting, a new paint job and everything, it'll be fine. And I was working on my dad's boat since I was 12 years old. I hate working on boats, especially wooden boats. So he says to me, I hate it. But it was cool because it
was your father mad at you at the time? He decided to
get it. No, he thought the thing that pissed him off was he thought it was like such a great thing that he, you know, that he got this boat for me. He thought this was made, like he thought, oh, I'm going to love this thing, right? I hate wooden boats, all right? I hate them because they're nothing but work. So I said, I don't want a wooden boat. So he goes, well, what do you mean you don't want a wooden boat? But we used to go down to Avalon, and we didn't have any place to stay. So I said, well, you know, we could take in. I said, I can take into inside, and, we, you know, it's got a bathroom in there and small stove and like a little refrigerator you can plug into. I said, you know what I can do with that? I said, I know what I'll do. I'll take the fucking motor out of it. I'll cut in an air conditioner. You know, I'll clean up the inside and everything and make the inside nice. And we can, it's just be like a little floating condo.
Yeah.
And he goes, you ain't doing that. And I'm like, well, why not? And he goes, well, you got to fix it. I'm like, well, I don't want to fix it. So anyhow, I'm down there and I'm kind of cleaning everything up. And I said, I want to name it the Big Pig. He And he was furious.
I remember I chapped his ass so bad when you said that.
What?
What? You're not naming that thing the Big Pig? I said, is it my boat? He goes, yeah. I said, I'm naming that thing the Big Pig. And he was furious. He says, what's wrong with the boat? I said, what's wrong with the Big Pig? There's no boat sitting at my dock that says the Big Pig on it. I said, well, if it's my boat, I can name it what I want. And I want to name it the Big Pig. He goes, you are not naming that boat the Big Pig. So you have pictures of the Big Pig, I think.
Yeah, well, me and Don came down one day, and that's what we were working on. And so you were like, oh, if you want to give us a hand, and I'm like, all right, we're down here, you know. And then we walked up to it, and it was like, ooh. And all the metal in the windows, the window frames, were made out of that aluminum. And you could tell that this aluminum was exposed to salt air forever because it was like
pitted.
It's pitted and it's bubbled up and it's like. So your father made it sound like, oh, yeah, no big deal. All you got to do is get that sandpaper over there. And like, and I looked over and it's like 10. It's 10 grit. It's basically gravel.
Just rub this gravel.
It was the roughest fucking sandpaper I ever saw in my life. I think it was probably like 60 grit, something like really rough. And yeah, you just got to sand that down. And I'm like, well, I've never sanded aluminum before. And I'm like, but I'm familiar with sanding. And I was like, well, okay. It didn't even make a fucking dent.
No.
Yeah, you needed a fucking grinder. You know, so me and Don like quickly like said, yeah, this fucking sucks.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
That took all those pictures of you arguing with your dad, you know, on the boat of the Big Pig.
I want to believe it's the Big Pig. You're not naming it the Big Pig, but I want to name it the Big Pig.
Sandy was like, I've been fighting over this all weekend long. Yeah. Yeah, because like we have me and Don and Sandy, we wanted to go drinking or something, and you were like, yeah, you were like trying to make, you were stuck between a rock and a hard place because you kind of wanted to make your dad like happy, like, oh yeah, look, I'm taking an interest in this, I'm working on this boat that you got me for free, but yeah, you could just tell you were going through the motions.
I'm sorry, I had to stop this thing, or would you keep going off the whole time?
Never mind.
So then, after that, I go to come down there the next weekend or I don't know, a couple weekends after that because I wasn't working on the Big Pig anymore because I was on strike because I wanted to name it the Big Pig. I come there and the boat's gone. And I go, what happened to the boat? He goes, don't worry about it. He says, you don't want it. Don't worry about where it went. I went, all right. So then that's when we made Club Shed. That's when my dad had this shed down there. And we cleaned it off the inside. We put a shower in there and a toilet in there. And we cleaned it up and we would sleep in the shed when we went down there. So that, yeah.
We had your birthday party down at Sandy's parents' place.
Jesus Christ. The surprise party?
Yeah. You thought people were like breaking into the place. You came bursting in there. Like, I don't know what you thought you were going to do.
I was going to beat somebody up. That's all I knew.
It was cold as fuck in that goddamn place.
So
it never dawned on us, like, oh, John's birthday's in October. Oh, we're going to have this party down there. Well, some summer bungalows don't have heat. And it gets cold in October down at the shore.
Yeah, here, I think I'm going down there for a weekend to get my ashes hauled. And then I find out that there's all these people in the house. Although we did have a good time.
Oh, yeah.
It was fun. But still, it's like I go pulling up and I see all these shadows. I'm like, somebody's in the house. I said, they're running out the back door. So I get out of the car and I go running out the back door. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just going to go. I'm going to get somebody. Somebody. I'm going to get a hold of somebody.
Someone's getting their ass kicked.
I come walking in. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I know these people. And everybody's like, surprise? I was like, Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. It scared the shit out of me.
Came in like Batman.
I did. All right. I think it's time to do some podcast shout-outs.
Okay, cool. If you are looking for some other great independent podcasts and podcasters to check out, we highly recommend these podcasts and podcasters. The Jason and Mindy Podcast with Jason and Mindy.
The Fine Whining Podcast with Mike and Cheese. And hopefully one day, Rubbernecker Devin will come back. He's a bit under the weather.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cooties?
I can't talk right. about it. He's having medical issues.
I just wanted to say cooties.
Okay.
It's been a long time since I've got to use that in a cooties. Sentence.
Yes.
It's like a thinking cap. When was the last time you put your thinking cap on? Grade school, maybe?
Maybe.
Right.
Probably.
See? Now see. Mm-hmm. Who's right with Doug and Anthony?
All right. I got a bone to pick with Doug. So the other day he sends me a text and he says, hey, do you have a Reaper template? Now, Reaper is an audio editing program. Do you have a Reaper template with processing and loudness? What do they call them? Inputs. Let's just use the word inputs. And I haven't. I don't use Reaper, so I haven't played with it for a long time. So I went, no. So then I figured, well, let me go down and play with it and see what I can find out. And plugins, that's what they're called. I said, so I go down here and I got to find all these plugins. So I try to think, I'm like, why am I doing this? This is the dumbest way to do it. So I said, I don't do it that way. I process the audio first. This is what I use. I sent them what I used. And I said, and after that, you can edit it in whatever you want. It doesn't have to be Reaper or you don't have to use plugins. Never heard from them. I'm like, well, I want to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Did he do it? Did he do what I said? Did he say anything? He left me hanging. I don't know what's going on over there.
It's a mystery.
It's a mystery. All right. So the MI Canceled podcast.
You did it.
I did it. I'm a big boy.
You did it. I wish I had the door of the Explorer music. Like, you did it. You did it.
I know. I can't help it if he named this podcast wrong.
The Unwritable Rant with Juliet Miranda and Dave the Producer.
I Shake My Head with Lisa and Sam.
The Po' Boys Podcast with that motherfucker Jody B.
The Steel Toe Morning Show with Aaron, Johnny, and April.
The Boomer Bunker with Deuce's Favorite Podcast for Boomer Bob, the Duchess, and John.
And Brilliant Observations with Melissa and Amy.
Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks with Mike, Travis, and Drunk.
And the LMNO podcast with Stu McAllister. Now, I finally figured out what LMNO means.
Oh. Okay.
So he's a comedian, and he says, you know, there's always these, three-letter BRB, be right back, and LMAO, laugh my ass off, and all this other stuff. Well, he made one up. It's LMNO. Lick my nuts. Lick my nuts off.
Okay.
I'm sorry. LMNOP. So it's lick my nuts or penis. That's what it is. LMNOP. They lick my nuts or penis. So I'm like, okay, well, it works for me. There you go.
Everything has a meaning.
Yeah.
The Fart Mouth Podcast with Tyler and Jake.
All right. I got to tell you this one story. So a while back, I got into this thing with this guy. His name's Johnny DiCaprio. You know, the guy from Township.
Okay.
Remember him?
Well, I never knew his name.
Well, I just told you his name. Well, he nicknamed himself Blade, so now he
Wait, Blade?
Blade.
Okay.
Okay. So he nicknames himself Blade. So he has this podcast. It's called In the Paint. I think it's the In the Paint podcast. But he also goes, he used to be in a band called Win By Two. So they call him Win By Two. So he's one of these podcasters that go and they berate other podcasters, like they just come in and they listen to the other podcasters and they just come in and just basically, I guess they just go in and berate them.
Just to break balls?
Just to break balls. How dumb they are, how bad they are, how they shouldn't podcast. Now, here's the thing. Some people can do this and they're good. They're funny. They have good takes. This guy has neither good takes. He's not funny. He's just boring. And he does it for over 4 hours. This goes on. It's a long time. So you know Bob Levy, Reverend Bob Levy, mm-hmm. from the Howard Stern Show, and Shuley from the Howard Stern Show. Well, they're podcasting now, so they have this podcast. And this guy doesn't like Shuley, and Johnny DiCaprio doesn't like Shuley. And so Shuley and Reverend Bob were having a comedy event at a comedy place in Atlantic City. So this guy, Johnny, decides he's going to go there and he's going to record them and then use it on his show to how bad they are and how they suck at comedy and all this other stuff. Well, what don't you do at comedy clubs?
You know, bring recording devices in.
How long has that been that way?
Forever and a day.
Okay. So Johnny decides to go in there and he's going to bring a recording device. But he knows you're not allowed to use your phone. So what he does is he gets these glasses that can record, right? Because he's smart.
Not dumb.
He's not dumb.
People say.
He's smart. So he goes to the place.
Take Freddy to pick someone up at the airport.
So now they know that he's there, all right? So they're like, he's here. And the owner of the club says, I'm telling you right now, if he takes that phone out and starts recording, he's out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's before everybody's there, so he's going to do something smart. He's going to take his phone out, and he's going to record how many people are in the place. Like, they only drew 30 people, so he's going to do that. So he pulls out his phone. That's all they needed. Four people came over.
They muscled them right out.
They muscled them right out, down the fucking steps, and out the door he goes, right? So then he gets in his car, and he leaves. So he does his next show, and he's got the collar on, the neck brace collar on, because he says he's hurt now. And he says he's going to own the comedy store, the comedy.
So he's trying to do an Andy Kaufman.
He's trying to do an Andy Kaufman, but he's not talented or funny or anything like that. But he's not really doing it, right? And he's not hurt, because the whole time he's podcasting, he's moving his head. He's on video, moving his head around and doing this. And the thing is, it's not like it's even the foam collar that he has on. He's got some kind of, like, thing wrapped around it. Like, he took a towel and wrapped it with some cloth, and he's got that around his neck, and that's supposed to be his thing. So then he comes on, and he tells the whole story about what happened. I'm laughing my balls off, because he's making it sound like it's everybody else's fault but his. But I'm telling you right now, I would have paid money. I wish somebody had a video of that. Of them throwing him the fuck out of there. That would have been amazing.
We're moving you out.
Yeah. So, yes. That to me was just a fucking chef's kiss. 4 fucking hours he's talking about this shit. I couldn't have laughed harder. So there you go, Johnny. Congratulations. Oh, people are talking about you. You're a dumbass.
Made his mark.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. And we will talk to you next month.
Adios, bitches.
Eat my fart box. That's it. We're just getting into it.